Hello. Thank you for listening to and watching You at Options. This episode, I have Nick Diner from Wonder Effects, very good guitar pedal effects company. We talk about everything under the Wonder umbrella, talk about Wonder Effects, talk about Wonder guitars. Exciting time to be on the Wonder train. We talk about how he got into making pedals, his time in wrestling school. We talk about how Noel Gallagher of Oasis might be using one of his pedals right as we speak. Great talk. Make sure you follow Wonder Effects on Instagram. It's spelled O-N-E-D-E-R Effects. Go follow Wonder Guitar Company as well. Be on the lookout for some guitars coming out. Yeah, great talk. Really enjoyed it. Go follow You at Options, at You at Options on Instagram and everywhere. Yeah, just support whatever. Support small businesses. Support small people doing big things. You know, big things coming for Wonder in the future. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Hope you enjoy.
I was just texting my wife on a call, which she does to me like all the time. She works from home as well.
Yeah.
So now I'm like, I'm the one who's on a call. Like, don't ask me to let the dogs out.
Don't disturb.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll probably
put the red light on.
Weird construction sounds coming out from outside of my studio. My father-in-law's finishing the rest of our basement, putting some trim up and stuff like that. So
okay.
Yeah, a lot of fun stuff.
Cool. Nothing like usually. So I grew up in Alabama and basements aren't a thing here.
Right.
And yeah. So like usually if somebody has a basement, it's for like weird reasons, like, right. You know, like trap doors or whatever, keeping people under there.
Of course.
But yeah, Nick, thanks for joining me.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. I'm glad it worked out. Should we tell the story of what it took to get us here?
Sure. Yeah. You can go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. So basically I had to update my browser. Oh, I had to get a browser, which I had, but I don't use Chrome to use this app.
Yeah.
And then it was like, hey, you should update that. So I did. And it was like, no, you're not updated. I'm like, what do you mean? I just did it. And then it was like, you got to probably update your Mac to get the latest version of Chrome. And I was like, oh boy, I haven't done that in a while. Mac wouldn't let me update it. Like, you click it, it would just time out. So my friend sent me a secret link so you can download it outside of the app store, and then boom, it worked. This was like 3 hours after trying to figure it all out,
right?
So I made it seem like it just like boom 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 happened. And then basically overnight, you know, I was like, sweet, it loaded, I'll go check it out in the morning. Checked it out today, everything's updated, everything's sweet. I can no longer use my recording software, so which is kind of one of my jobs. So I have to kind of figure out, do I want to use the new Pro Tools and just like cut my losses, and like maybe it's time I upgraded anyway. Yeah. But I've been using the same 2013 Pro Tools 11 for years, and I've made lots of great records on it, and that's what I know,
right?
So it's like, so I might have to figure out a way to like save everything in my life and go back to my old operating system at the risk of losing many things. So
yeah,
I guess we'll see.
Well, it's all worth it for this podcast.
Yeah,
sure.
Just wanted to talk to you this bad that I completely just like deleted my life, and here I am.
God. Oh man. Well, I appreciate it, Nick.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
See, yeah, I've not ran into this issue yet. So
you haven't run into someone as dumb as me when it comes to computers,
man.
So that's
oh man. It's a couple months ago, I had reset my login number on my iPhone, and then like a dummy, I forgot it. And so, you know, you have to like, it's pretty much like bricks your iPhone to where you got to uninstall everything. And God, man, that feeling, it's not a good feeling.
Yeah, I pretty have to recreate my passwords every time I log into anything. And apparently there's apps that make it easier to not have to do that. But you know, I don't know how this stuff works.
Yeah, I don't know. I've tried those like password keepers and stuff. But it's like, I got to update all that stuff every time I change. So yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I just let it ride.
Yeah, same here.
But yeah, I think most people would know you for your Wonder effects pedals.
Yes.
Right now, yeah. How is that going?
it's going great. It was my little lockdown hobby Instagram page that I made and turned into my full-time job not too much later. So
that's cool.
Kind of cool. You know, I used to be Nick from the Swellers. You know, I was in a band for a long time, and then I became Nick at Wonder Studios. Made a lot of records for bands and mix, produce, all that kind of stuff. And now I'm Nick from Wonder Effects, and it's kind of funny because, like, as time goes on, fewer and fewer people remember me from older stuff that I've done. So it's kind of cool. It's like I've made this little transformation, and what's cool is when people discover stuff that I've done in the past and kind of make a connection. You know, they're like, oh, I'm playing your guitar pedal, and I just listened to that Hot Mulligan record, and I saw your name on the back sleeve, and I was just like, yeah, that's cool. You know, small world. And, you know, someone might have liked my band back in the day, and they got a pedal from me, and then they kind of put two and two together like 2 years later. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, I'd heard of the Swellers before.
Right on.
But I don't know how. I guess I just found your Wonder Effects Instagram. I got super into, like, I don't know if this is the right word, but like boutique pedals or whatever. Is that what you describe your pedals as?
Yeah, we'll take that. I mean, like, if I had to come up with my own explanation for it, it probably wouldn't be that word, but I think that's what the world uses.
Yeah,
Boutique makes it seem like I make them, like, very, very beautiful and, like, very expensive, but I guess that's not really what it means.
Nick, your Fabergé egg fuzz pedal is...
That's exactly what I think of. I think, like, I ship it in a glass case, and it's... it's the boutique thing. I think it just means a small business, one or two people, making things in smaller batches. And I think people, you know, they think that we make small batch stuff because we're being jerks and we want fewer people to have our pedals and like
you make only got
it limited.
So many hands and so many hours.
It's all we can do. You know, even the I just did a signature pedal with Less Than Jake, and that sold like 255 pedals or something within the first few days that I had the pre-order open. And you know, and even then people were just like, what the heck, like, what do you think you are, Supreme or Blink-182, doing all this limited run? And it's like, I'm building my butt off. Like, I seriously worked sun up to sun down and then even pulled some night shifts to try to make those happen, and I'm like, I'm sorry. So
how many work hours does it take to make 250 pedals?
I mean, I kind of did the math, and it's hard to say. It depends on the day, like how many minutes or hours it takes to build one pedal.
Right.
But you have to consider not just building the pedal, but testing the pedal.
Testing them, yeah.
Putting the knobs on it, building the little cardboard box, putting the boxed candy in the box, putting the pedal in the bag, closing the box, writing the name of the pedal on it, printing out the shipping labels, putting them in an envelope. So basically, when you look at from beginning to end how long it really takes, it's like an hour plus per pedal, if I was being generous.
Right.
So yeah, 255 pedals, you know, that's 255 hours. That's several work weeks.
I got the dog boost right here. Yeah. I got the Fuzzhausen hooked up over here, but it's over there.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah, those dog boosts, those were pretty limited. I did not make many of those, and Yeah, so every once in a while I see something that I made a long time to me a long time ago.
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Oh my god, would you look at that?" you know.
Yeah.
But that's part of the boutique thing, you know, you never know when things are going to change and
right.
Yeah, yeah, so I'm working on getting a little bit more help like every once in a while.
Yeah.
When a big batch is coming up, I have a buddy who I basically give him a bunch of boards and I'm like, "Put the pots and jacks and like, you know, adapters or whatever, solder them on this, wrap them back up and bring them to me."
Yeah.
And you know, it saves me sometimes like a day or two of busy work.
Damn.
And I can kind of move things along a little quicker, you know, depending on what it is. Some things get really popular, other things, you know, sit around for a bit. So it's a fun experiment.
One thing I also like about your account, and I guess about you, because you are your account, is I'm a gear guy, and it seems like you are also very much a gear guy with just like a lot of different amps and different setups. And
yeah, you know, I when I was in my band, I played a very specific style of music with high gain amps, humbucker hardtail guitars, and that was about it. And then when I stopped touring almost a decade ago now, I was like, "Oh, cool. I'm going to try out like these single coil guitars and combo amps, and I'll start using pedals more just to get some different sounds in my studio." And then, yeah, now I'm kind of at the point where I use my gear mostly to make demos for my pedals or developing new prototypes, but I'm finally getting into like playing guitar again for fun.
Nice.
And I'm really narrowing it down, like what I like. And right now what I like are like Gibson style guitars and unfortunately, you know, expensive custom shop ones really make me happy.
Right.
And it's just like, you know, so I hate that. Like I have a, what do you call it? Like that my, I have like a
what is it? A wine taste?
Yeah. Champagne budget. I have a wine taste. And then every once in a while I do have a wine budget.
Yeah.
And then I spend it and then I forget how life works. Like, oh, I was probably supposed to use that money for something else. But yeah, like last year I didn't buy guitars all year. I told myself like, I'm just going to do some research and wait. And at the end of the year, I bought like the two guitars that I really wanted. I got the Gibson Trini Lopez signature and the 64 SG standard custom shop with like the Vibrola tailpiece. And I'm glad that I waited and I did my research because they're two of my favorite guitars I've ever had.
Yeah.
And right now I'm on an amp search. It's driving me crazy.
How's that going?
I found like one of my favorite amps I've ever had, and it's the Boogie California Tweed.
Okay.
But of course there's always a but.
Yeah.
It has this like tube rattle because it's a 112 combo. Drives me crazy.
Yeah.
But another but. I plug it into an external cab. Like I have a 212 over here and a 412, and it sounds incredible, but I really hate the idea of a 112 combo plugging it into like some big cab that doesn't match it size or shape or anything. So now so I'm
aesthetic.
Looking. Yeah. Yeah. Cause the aesthetic matters to me. You know, I want to be happy looking at it, and like, yeah, I'm in a studio. It doesn't really matter.
Right.
But I can't help but think, what if I get the head version of this combo and a 212 matching cab? And I'm like, it basically means I have to spend more money, sell what I have, get something new, sell some other stuff. And it's such a pain, but it's exciting. And like the chase is kind of cool because once I have it, I'm going to be like, oh, this is going to be hopefully, I think, my favorite amp for a long time. Like my daily driver, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's always like, you're chasing the dragon with like amps. I constantly feel that way with amps and pedals and gear and trying to figure out the right pedal board and the chain sequence and all that stuff. Do you have a like preferred chain sequence of pedals? I run the fuzz pedal into this before this part of the chain or whatever. You know?
So I don't have a pedal board of my own. And I haven't for like a really long time. I have a pedal floor and a pedal shelf and a pedal table and a pedal wall.
Yeah.
And it's just stuff laying all over the place.
Yeah.
And so when I was recording bands more, it was pretty much like, all right, what's the part? What are we doing? What's your tone like? Are we using your pedal board? Are we making something of mine? And it would just be like, you know, I think personally, I would love to have a pedal board, but what is driving my company and my creativity, like my process, is I'm trying to make all the pedals that I would want on my board. I got a pretty good start at that. And then I kind of got a little carried away with, you know, different fuzzes and just kind of, it's like all dirt pedals.
Okay. But
I discontinued a few things. I found some things that really work and that are really great that I really love.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have some new stuff. Well, a lot of new stuff coming out this year. So my goal is to pretty much have every slot on a pedal board. I want something that fills that slot.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
So like, I might not make a compressor pedal. You know, I'm not a big compressor user myself. You know, people will request me to do things, you know, hey, have you ever thought about doing a this plus an envelope filter plus this? Like, I would buy the crap out of that. And I'm like, that's rad. I would never personally use that. I don't think that's something I would ever make. So yeah, I'm getting pretty close this year. If all goes well, and I hate like teasing stuff and telling people when something's
coming,
come out.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's big things coming, like if things work out in the right order. Because right now it's like, and I thought I was going to have a lot of this stuff, like every 2 months I'd have these boards ready and then I would work on the artwork and then we would make them, get demos, that pedal comes out. And then right after that, this board's ready, this prototype's done, same process. It's looking like five things are all going to be ready at the same exact time. Just by chance, you know, because like, things didn't work out for a long time. And so, yeah, I think maybe by the end of the year, I'll have my pedal board and it'll be mostly my stuff, you know, because
that's sick, man.
That's just kind of why I started this. It was like, what would I do? You know, what would I like? And and luckily, other people dig it, too. So I was like, OK, cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Is there a pedal that you've made and sold that you're like, I don't know if this is practical, you know, and people had a better response than you were assuming that they were going to have?
Well, I think the Fuzzhausen, for example, sonically, it's like pretty crazy. It's borderline unusable. Like, you either want it for the craziest fuzz ever or for just making noise.
Yeah.
And that's why I made it. You know, it was like this.
I like it.
Thank you. Yeah. And like, I had a lot of fun playing with it and experimenting with like my knobs and switches. But I was like, this is also not me. Like, it's something, it was like, I was thinking outside of the box and, you know, came up with something weird. Not to mention, you know, when I hit up Danhausen and was like, just joking around, like, do you want to make a fuzz pedal with your face on it? And, you know, he was like, I don't know what that is, but sure.
Go for it. Yeah. Ooh, I got to grab it because it looks cool. 1 second, hold
on. Okay, right on.
Okay.
All right, we got it.
People can see it.
There it is. Yeah, so it's bypass on the one side, and then the other side toggles between like a really, really gnarly fuzz. And then like a self-oscillating feedback version of that fuzz.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many emails I got from people being like, something's wrong with the red mode. It just makes noise the whole time. And I'm like, that's
the thing.
That's the point, you know? But honestly, that pedal did much better than we anticipated. I was expecting maybe 30 to 50 sales, you know, like, there's not a huge cross section of guitar players and pro wrestling fans.
Damn.
I thought. And
this might have been the thing that I came across you.
I
follow
cool.
Fuzzhausen, or I follow, you know, Danhausen, and I like wrestling and, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, I mean, we did like 100 pretty close to right away. And then I was like, well, let's do another batch, and did another 100, and I think there might have been like 550 Fuzzhausens made. So
damn.
And for a fairly small, affordable, I mean, affordable for, you know, how much work I put into it. There's a lot of small pedals that, you know, they cost $60 to $90, but they're not boutique like mine, you know. But yeah, the thing with the Fuzzhausen is not, and eventually I turned it into the Heck Boy with a couple different features. Right. Yeah. And that was mainly because when Danhausen signed at AEW, he was like, I don't know how cool they're going to be with me having outside merch. And even if we do bring AEW in on it, like, neither of us are going to make enough money and it's not going to be fun, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. So we did a few more under the radar, kind of like random little special things. And what it came down to was discontinuing both those pedals was just like actually building them was such a pain in the ass. And the mini pedal format and like the margin for error, a lot of stuff, you know, people were like, there's trim pots on the side of the Heck Boy that you can get into and change through the bottom of the pedal without taking the lid off. People were like jabbing screwdrivers into them and just like destroying the innards. And I was like, all right, I think I'm good making these. They were fun. I'm glad people enjoyed them, but that's about it. You know, like that was, I was like, that's the, that can be the end of that. Maybe I'll bring back the circuit in some other format, you know, a more road ready, reliable format. And then, yeah, I just kind of wanted to make more room for more stuff. And yeah, I'm so antsy right now. It's just like sitting around and waiting. It's such a pain, but yeah, I'm excited about everything that is coming. And at least right now I have like, literally I have like one active pedal in my line, and that's the old Blue Overdrive.
Yeah.
Cause we're retooling the Wonderwall pedal, which is one of my favorites, but we're figuring out the production on that to make it a little bit better to build. Cause that's important to me. Cause if something's easier to build, it's going to hold up longer. It's just like, you know, if everything fits better. And so I'm fixing stuff on my end.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, just a lot more stuff that isn't just dirt pedals coming, I think. Maybe. Yeah.
Has, so have all your like side endeavors always been Wonder?
Just the studio and then this. And it was pretty much because I had to come up with a studio name, or at least I thought I would.
Yeah.
And then, I was like, at first I was calling it O'Neater Studios, and then people just started calling it Wonder Studios, and I'm like, well, I'm not going to correct them. And then
it's
when it came
like
for
the movie,
yeah, exactly. And then when it came to the effects pedals, I was like, maybe I'll end up making one of my own someday, because I was just building clones and stuff for the first couple months.
Yeah,
and I was just like, yeah, we'll call it Wonder Effects, and I build them when I'm not in my studio, and I'll use them in my studio. We'll call it Wonder, sure. And then I was like, all right, I think I can make a pedal or two of my own. You know, I got some people who actually knew how to design the circuit boards. Because, like, I don't do any of that stuff myself. Like, I can scrawl stuff out on a napkin and change components in and out and tell you what the sound difference is. And but I need a smart person to actually, because it involves a computer, and we all know I don't know how to use computers. So, yeah, I ended up basically having a pedal or two at the very beginning with my name on it, and you know, it's my own thing. And I was like, all right, so this is like my studio's signature pedals, and that was probably going to be it. And then, you know, when COVID didn't quite slow down, and when the end of the year came around and my wife did our taxes, she was like, hey, like, this pedal thing didn't do too bad for you.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, like, I'll probably keep doing it next year. And then that next year is when things like really, really started to pick up. Like, I kind of established myself as like a serious pedal builder.
Yeah.
Well, as serious as I can be, I guess. And
Right. Yeah.
And then it just, every year has been better and better since. And 2023 was the best year yet. And
nice.
Yeah. It became my full-time thing at some point in there. I don't, it's hard to judge when, because you know, with lockdowns and surges and all that, I was telling people, hey, don't come to my studio. But I know at least maybe a little over two years ago, I deleted my studio website. And that was kind of like, A, I didn't want to pay for it anymore. B, I didn't want people hitting me up anymore. Yeah. Like, if you wanted to record with me or have me mix something, like, you got to like know someone who knows someone. Like, I want to make it hard to get a hold of me, because I don't like saying no to people.
And yeah,
I did that for kind of a bit, but yeah. So just kind of mixing a few things here and there, recording a little bit, and I want to do some of my own music again, but it's been a really long time and I don't really know when to find the time to do that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this year, hopefully, you know, I have a bunch of resolutions and hopefully some of them come true.
I hope so.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. COVID, I think you even posted something about this the other day where it's like all these, pedal companies.
Was it about like the, like, yeah, like
started
the,
up. Yeah.
The meme pages basically, or like,
yeah.
Fuzz of the day and like Blues Lick of the week. And
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was that. And there was a couple people that actually got kind of offended by that post, but I didn't mean it to be like, screw all you guys who couldn't keep your fun Instagram account running. Like, I don't know why I would say that.
No.
I started my page with all of them and we all followed each other. Like, when we all became a thing, and, it was kind of sad because like you would check the last time they posted and you're like, oh, what happened to that person? Like, hopefully something good. Like, hopefully they like went back to work and they're having a good time.
Yeah.
But then you're like, oh my God, like, it's kind of sketchy. Like, it's like, where's my friends? Like, they're not active right now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was there was a lot of stuff that popped up around like pandemic time, and that I didn't know if it was something that had been established for a long time or if it was new. But yeah, there was a ton of companies too that started almost the same month that I did. Because like, to be fair, like I kind of started a month before lockdown. So like, we didn't really know that COVID was going to be a thing. And I was like,
or did you know that COVID was going to be a thing?
And no, that's why I promise you started. That I didn't, even though I had all these microchips and, you know, parts on me, I was not ready to inject them into anybody yet.
Yet. The Wonder Narrow Link coming. Sorry.
Yes. A lot of companies started around the exact same time. And that was kind of cool learning, you know, as you talk to somebody and I would ask people for advice and they're like, dude, I just started too. I don't know. And I'm like, oh, for real? Like, okay.
Yeah.
And people were really supportive of each other, like all these different companies. And that was the kind of funny thing, because a lot of companies and people we were all friends and talking to each other. We have like a Discord group. But every once in a while you'd find like a bad egg who was like not stoked to be part of the group. Like, you could tell they were like angry about, you know, so and so stole my ideas, and they were jealous that so and so sold more, and you're like, okay.
Like,
so yeah, you had to kind of like, all right, okay, not gonna invite you to the party next time. Like, but 99% of people have been cool. It's a good place to be. Like, everybody's pretty rad, and I think people are a little stressed out right now because of like the economy is a little bit gnarly as of last year. Like, there was definitely like a big dip in sales and things like that for a lot of big companies, especially, you know, they like were pretty vocal about like, yo, like this was a weird year. I'm happy that I stayed afloat at least, you know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So still here, still kicking.
Yeah, it's, I just thinking about it now, like in music and gear equipment companies, like you either got like the big boys, like all the top people, and then there's this huge gap where there's no like middle ground companies, or at least that I'm aware of, and then there's like small and like independent people, you know.
Yeah, it's pretty weird. Yeah, there's you know, there's so much that goes into like being a big business and like running a big company, and it just stresses me out, like to the point where, you know, when people are like, hey, do you, you know, what are your goals? You know, would you want to be like an Earthquaker or like a JHS? And
yeah,
I would love to sell that many pedals, but like, I don't want the buildings that they had to buy,
the,
and I don't want all the employees that they had to get. Because I mean, I visited Earthquaker when I went to their little get together last year, Earthquaker Day, and I was blown away at how amazing like their facilities were and all the people that do different things. And I was like, this is so cool. And a lot of other pedal builders were there with me and they were like, yeah, this is what we aspire to do someday. And I was like, oh, that stresses me out. You know,
yeah.
Like I'm so not business minded, you know, and people actually ask me for like business advice. Like, what should I do to, you know, I'm starting a small business. Mm. How do I get started? What do I do? And I'm flattered that they ask me, but I'm literally like, okay, buy this much shit for this much money, make this much shit, sell that shit, you make this much money, and then invest some of that into more shit to make even more shit.
Yeah.
And then it just keeps building from there. And like, as basic as that is, that's been my philosophy.
Yeah.
And like, you know, people are like, oh, how much, you know, do you set aside for parts and what do you withhold for blah, 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 like all this financial talk. And I'm just like, as long as I'm spending less than I'm making, I think it's going good.
Yeah.
And they're like, what? Like, you don't keep track. I'm like, nope. I kind of just figure it out at the end of the year and hope that it all worked out and that I didn't do anything stupid. But yeah, it's like, I would know, you know, like my bank account, like my personal bank account is the business bank account.
Right.
And I can see when it's good and when it's not.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's easier to have a business than people think. But if you follow a YouTube tutorial about how to start your business and an LLC and take out loans and how to get healthcare for your two employees, it's like, okay, like you're going to fail early,
right?
Because you're trying to do too much.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, start small. I mean, I still consider myself like I'm starting small, even though things are going good and I might be able to make things more legitimate. But you know, if it ain't broke, so.
Right. Yeah. I think, you know, I think people always want like, oh, there's gotta be like some secret that I'm looking over or whatever. You know, it's not just like, it's tough for them to accept, like, I don't know, just do what you love and what drives you, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. That's the biggest part for me is like making sure I enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know, people will be like, are you like the craziest pedal fan, pedal freak ever? And it's like, honestly, like not really, but the thought of making my own pedals and developing my line of pedals,
yeah,
is like nothing makes me more stoked. Like knowing that something just worked out yesterday, like I got a prototype that's doing great and I'm like, we're ready.
Nice.
It's such a high, you know, it's like, oh, this is so cool. But, you know, on the contrary, when things aren't going well, if, you know, something like yesterday, I built the final two Wonderwall pedals that I had in stock. And I sold one and I was like, great. And then I went to go test the second one and it didn't work. And I was just like, I needed a win yesterday. Everything was going wrong. And I opened it up like the last thing I did all day. And I realized it was like a stupid little mistake. I didn't solder one point of something. So I soldered that, plugged it in. It worked. And I was like, and like the weight off my shoulders was just like, thank goodness I got something that worked out.
Yeah.
And then, then I used that pedal on the Greet Death record that I'm working on right now.
Nice.
I'm mixing and recording. Well, not recording, but I'm adding stuff to while I mix if I need to. And then, I posted like, hey, I played the last Wonderwall pedal on this new Greet Death record. If anybody snags the last one in my shop, that's rock and roll history, I guess, you know?
Damn.
And yeah, and someone got it. So it was like, that's cool. Like, that's a fun thing to do I never thought about before, is like literally use a pedal on a record.
That's pretty cool.
Show the person like, this is what it did.
Yeah.
You can have that unit. You know, it's not like it really, really matters, but it's a fun story.
Yeah.
You know, like if, and it's not like it's more expensive than a normal pedal would be because I, you know, played my magic riffs through it or something. But, you know, instead of just plugging it in through a looper and testing all the knobs, it's like, cool, I put it on a rock and roll record. That's kind of cool. Yeah. That was a good way to test all the knobs.
The ultimate test. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and it sat well in the mix and it was easy to use, you know? So it's like, it's kind of cool. It like reaffirms the old love I had for the Wonderwall pedal. And it's like, oh yeah, I still really like this thing. So I'm glad to be doing big tings with it in 2024.
Big tings,
yeah. Maybe.
Yeah,
we'll see. You know, again, I make no promises, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, I hope, you know, the Gallagher brothers, they seem pretty litigious. And so I hope we don't have to deal with any of that.
Well, Noel has one. I don't know if...
What?
I don't know if he has it in his possession or has played it, but his guitar tech absolutely has taken one from me.
What?
Yeah.
That's cool.
I kind of posted a, God, what was it? Like about 7 months ago, 8 months ago.
Yeah.
And I said, I got this Wonderwall pedal. Does anybody, and Noel Gallagher was coming into town into Michigan to play a show. So I just basically put out a post saying, does anybody know anybody that works with Noel? I would love to get him a Wonderwall pedal. And then somebody actually commented and like tagged somebody, and it was Gem Archer, the other guitar player in Noel's band. It was his guitar tech, Dave.
Okay.
And Dave was basically like, sick, pedals rule. Like, bring me one. I'll make sure I get it to him.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I want to bring you one too. And he was like, even cooler. Like, sweet. So I brought him one, and I brought one for Noel.
Yeah.
And I know that Dave really digs it. And he also looks after the band Ride, doing like guitar and drum teching. And they're kind of like a UK, like shoegaze pioneer kind of band. Like, they've been around since the early 90s, late 80s.
Okay.
And they kind of recently reunited in the last 5 or so years, maybe 7 years, after like 26 years of being gone. But yeah, they've played a couple of my pedals too. So yeah. Noel Gallagher might be aware of the Wonderwall pedal. It's been, it could even be kicking around at his studio. I don't know.
Damn.
Or it could have been left at a hotel somewhere. Who knows?
Damn.
But it's somewhere in that realm, which is pretty, pretty fun. And Andy Bell, who plays in Ride, he sings and plays guitar. He was in Oasis for like 9 years playing bass.
Okay.
So I know that he knows the Wonderwall. So a member of Oasis is familiar with Wonderwall. And that's all that I need as far as a validation.
That's wild.
Yeah.
That's gotta be like the biggest name that are there other big people you want to talk about?
I don't know. It's so hard to say. I don't really know like how popular certain people are, because some of them are like just my buds, but I also haven't really cashed in my, like, I know this guy in this band, and I'm gonna make him use my pedal kind of thing. I haven't really done that yet. I should probably give that a shot.
Now's the time.
So I don't know. I feel like there's no like real big name, but there's quite a few touring musicians who, I mean, a guy from Oasis playing my stuff,
that's,
you know,
pretty
even though
big.
He's not currently in Oasis, it's like Ride is a huge band for me, so that alone is pretty incredible. So that's like the most exciting one, because like I don't know him, like I didn't know him, so that was like a thing that just kind of came out of nowhere, which is exciting. But yeah, hopefully we'll get like a John Mayer or something to start digging on my old Blue Overdrive, and I'll have to start making a bunch more pedals.
What's a body as a wonderland play on words?
I've already thought of it. The wonderland thing, it makes me laugh so hard, but I just don't. Actually, Land Devices, they have some really cool pedals. I was like, we should do a collaboration, and it would be called Wonderland.
Ooh,
and we could
I
have
like
the
that.
Pedal be called like Your Body. So like, your body is a wonderland. And then, I don't know, that just never became a thing. I try not to make everything too punny.
Right.
Sometimes, like, a little nod is cool, but sometimes I'm just like, I don't know, I can't help myself. It's
fun. if you get a good one, it's tough to be like, oh, I can't use this one, you know?
Yeah, like with Wonderwall, I was like, this is hilarious because it sounds nothing like that song.
Right.
But it's going to look like wallpaper and it's going to be a wall of sound. So that was kind of cool. But yeah, I don't know. I have a bunch of pedals coming up that I have to name and it's driving me nuts. So yeah, some of them are going to be really boring. Some of them are going to be really weird and long, I think.
Okay.
So yeah, we'll see. I'm usually good at naming stuff, but I've like run out of names.
Oh, no. Something will squeeze out of you.
Yeah, we'll see.
Is there a nightmare collaboration on a pedal you can think of, like a person? I don't know, like.
Oh well, yeah. I was working with NoFX to make a boost pedal.
Okay.
And I got the okay from somebody very important on their team.
Sure.
So I put it into production, and I made some teaser videos.
Yeah.
And then I got the opposite from someone else on their team being like, who the hell are you and what is this? And I was like, I sent these your way. I thought that the band was aware. And then I was kind of like, all right, so maybe I should not, you know, do anything with these for a minute. And then I talked to the person, you know, that gave me the go ahead. And they were like, yeah, we'll sort this out. Don't worry. And then I eventually just like stopped checking in because I was like, it's not worth it for me to, you know, be worried about this kind of stuff. I sold some as like a pre-order. So I made a little bit of money back, but I have a lot of NoFX pedal enclosures laying around with nothing in them. So I might figure out a way to like rebrand or repurpose those in the future.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a bit of a nightmare. Because it was like one of my favorite bands, like kind of suddenly shitting on me after I thought we were doing something really cool. But I think the Less Than Jake pedal is like the dream collaboration.
That's pretty sick.
They were all so cool. And
yeah,
Chris, actually the singer, Chris DeMakes, you know, he actually got a hold of me about doing the pedal, which is
nice.
Made me feel like it wasn't a big cash grab. It was like, oh, sweet. This is just something wants to do with me, an old friend, you know, we toured together back in the day. And yeah, so that was kind of cool. And I went to go see Less Than Jake and NoFX on the same show in Florida. Yeah. And you know, I was still able to enjoy NoFX. I was like, yeah, all right, cool. They're breaking up like this year, like in October or something. So whatever, I won't have to worry about them for very much longer looming over my head. But Less Than Jake, I think they're going to be here to stay for a long time and do another batch of their pedals soon. As soon as some parts come in stock, because of course I'm ready to go, and there's stuff that's out of stock that I really need. So,
damn.
Yeah, unpredictability is really cool. I love it. It's a good business.
Oh yeah, it's fun. But did I see somewhere you went to wrestling school?
Oh, sorry, you broke up a little bit. Did you say wrestling school?
Did I see that somewhere? You went to wrestling school?
Yep. I did. It was a long time ago, about 10 years ago now.
Yeah.
And and that's how I met Danhausen. I was crashing on my friend's couch when I was down in Detroit 4 days a week. And they were like, you should talk to our friend Danhausen. He went to that same wrestling school and he like graduated and he's like doing the wrestling thing now.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, cool. And they were like, yeah, he's like a punk rock dude. Like, you should, you know, get to know him. You can talk. So yeah, way back then, you know, I'm just talking to this dude named Danhausen and I'm telling him I'm in wrestling and, you know, it's going all right. I lied, told him it was going all right.
Right, of course.
And then, at some point I was like, well, I have to leave anyway because my band is going on tour. We're going to Europe. So I kind of told him, hey, cool. So I'm going to take off, go back home, go do this tour and I'll see you guys when the next class is in session, you know, we'll resume. And they were like, okay, man. And I never went back. That was, it was good to have tried.
Yeah.
You know, I realized I didn't have it in me.
Yeah.
I also spent most of my life sleeping on couches and doing random things on weekends to, you know, playing to 20 people in VFW halls. I wasn't about to do that again, but in a wrestling ring.
Right.
Which I also was, I was pretty good at playing music, but I was really bad at wrestling. There's no way to really tell if I would have gotten better, but I was just like, I'm going to cut my losses. This was a cool experience.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just kind of enjoyed it from afar after that. And then I realized I don't have to like dive headfirst into everything that I like.
Yeah.
Which wrestling was one of them. I was like, sweet, I'm going to get big muscles and become a wrestler.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, okay. Nope. That was kind of crazy. But you know, here I am starting a guitar company and a pedal company and being like, I like gear. I'm going to make a gear company, but it worked out. So
yeah,
follow your dreams, kids. Worst that can happen is, you know, you break your neck in a wrestling ring.
Get the CTEs or,
I never experienced any real injury except for, like probably cracked ribs and stuff just from constantly taking bumps and running into turnbuckles and stuff. But
yeah,
a cracked rib is like nothing in the wrestling world. Like it happens. So
yeah.
You know, counting my lucky stars.
Do you keep up with wrestling still?
Not really.
Yeah.
Ever since having kids, they kind of take over the whole screens thing. So I have like a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old, and it's very hard for me to focus on anything. I watch TV shows now, like the olden days, like one episode a week.
Wow.
And there's no binging in my life. It's all, you're maybe going to be able to finish this episode this week, watching 10 or 15 minutes at a time before someone screams or poops or needs you. And so yeah, that's like my real full-time job. And then, then the pedal thing happens on the side.
are you making guitars? Wasn't that a thing?
Yeah. Got the Wonder Guitar Company.
Yeah.
And that has been in the making for a while now.
Right.
But we took on orders in the fall and we got a handful of guitars that we are finishing up pretty soon.
Nice.
It's taking longer than expected, but we're also just learning a lot of new stuff about, you know, how to do it. And because we're doing like literally everything from, you know, the necks to the frets to the fretboards to the bodies, the pick guards.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a big learning curve, and I'm not doing the hands-on stuff myself.
Are you doing the luthier? Yeah.
I'm just the idea guy. Like I designed the guitar and I got the company name and I run the ship. But Matt Tunney is the main luthier guitar builder extraordinaire. And then my buddies Chris and Mason are kind of doing the CNC duties and the sanding, buffing, painting, wiring, you know, you name it.
Yeah.
So it ended up becoming kind of a bigger operation than I anticipated too. But I'm not losing a ton of money. And I mean, nobody really is. Like, we're not investing our own money into this. We're kind of well, I mean, I'm paying for, you know, half of a guitar shop's rent.
Okay, I gotcha.
But that's like a small price to pay for, you know, trying to get a product off the ground. So yeah, hopefully in the next month or so, there'll be a lot of me playing these guitars in videos.
Yeah.
And then posting them so people can see what we've done. And yeah, I'm getting one built for myself too, a nice red sparkly one. So
nice,
because the first proto that we built and kept, we just kind of keep at the shop. It's a pink, like a shell pink one. It's very cool, but I need one that I can bring home and jam all the time. So yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully it all works out, you know, and if it doesn't down the road, it's like, we can say, cool, we made a bunch of cool guitars.
Yeah.
But yeah, the plan is to just keep making them, keep them available and make it a thing.
That's cool. Are you going to branch out into basses and like,
I think we want to do basses down the line. I think we're still making sure 100% that the guitars are going to be, you know, producible.
Yeah.
Like at the scale we're trying to do, which is, you know, very small, but it would be rough if we're, you know, trying to figure out production on one thing and trying to do another thing in tandem. But yeah, I already have ideas for different guitar models I want to try, and we definitely want to do the bass with like the same body style as our guitar, and it's gonna be a cool bass. Like I just already know, like, it's gonna look badass and vintage, and
hell yeah,
yeah, it's gonna be really cool.
Hell yeah, I'll get one. I'm a primarily a bass player. So
oh sweet,
I'll get one. Yeah,
right on, man. Thanks.
Yeah, your brother's in No Trigger, right?
Yep.
And did one of the No Trigger guitarists use one of your Wonder guitars? Am I wrong?
Trigger. There was a band called Dad's Home, and they're in Texas.
Okay.
But yeah, as far as the people, you maybe you're thinking of a Debt Neglector.
Maybe that's it.
They're from Orlando. They're in Florida.
From Florida, yeah.
And Matt Burns, we made him a white single pickup.
I think that's it, yeah.
Wraparound bridge guitar, which I'm super jealous of. Like, we all played that specific guitar, and we were like, God damn, we got to send this out. Like, we can't keep this at the shop. Bastard. But yeah, the single pickup rockers are really cool. Debt Neglector's awesome.
Yeah,
it's kind of crazy to me that there's some cool punk bands like actually playing guitars we made on stage, and they're kind of considered prototype guitars. Like the ones we're making right now are the actual production guitars, the first ever ones. You know, we're doing like five at a time.
Nice.
But yeah, the prototypes are cool because they're all like a little bit different. They all kind of have a little bit of a different vibe, and even like different. The bodies are like hand carved, you know, so like some of them have a little bit of a different contour than the others,
yeah,
like different forearm cutaways, and yeah, so it's cool, you know, seeing those out there. It's like, ooh, this is, it's history, you know.
Yeah, man, that's cool. It's especially, you know, all of them are made by hand, and so it's just like, yeah. I don't know, it's kind of like you know, if you buy like a Music Man or something, you see who like signed off on what, you know, whatever the points of check and who made this and all that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Music Man's a huge influence on what I do, because I mean, I played Music Man guitars all through my career, and I had relationships with those people there and like learned a ton from them. So it's pretty cool. Yeah, Brian Ball at Music Man, he like made me a lot of guitars over the years and just like sent them to me. And now I need to return the favor and get him a guitar as soon as I can, because I've just been slacking, you know? I mean, I don't think he's expecting gear from me, but it'd be a fun little thing to be like, hey, after all these years of mooching, you know, here's something I'd like to give to you.
Right. Well, that's sick, man.
Yeah,
Nick, we're running. We've done 50 minutes.
Awesome.
We can go ahead and start wrapping this rascal.
Sure.
Well, yeah. What are some things you want to promote?
Just, you know, if everybody stays in touch with Wonder Effects on the old Instagram. I have a TikTok, but the Instagram's kind of my mainframe where I run the business.
Yeah. And
WonderEffects.com is where I send everybody to. And if you click on some links that you might find, like in my bio, you'll see the Wonder Guitar Company also on Instagram.
Yeah.
So those are my two things.
Hell yeah.
That I've just been working at. And like we said, big things coming.
Big things coming.
Maybe. Hopefully. I changed my logo from purple to red.
Oh, yeah, I noticed that on Instagram. Yeah, yeah.
Yep, it freaks me out still to this day seeing it. Like, every time I pop open, like, my website or Instagram, I'm just like, whoa, like, it's red now. This is so mature. but
purple, you know.
A little bit cleaner lines for red now. You know, just because, again, you know, we came up with the name and the logo and the colors when I started this thing.
Yeah.
Which we didn't think it was going to last more than a couple months, but... Here I am, you know, getting older every day and
still doing the damn thing.
Still doing the damn thing and having fun, you know, like that's, I think I'm just going to become like a bus driver or something when I'm done doing this, because it's the only other thing I'm qualified to do. Like, I like driving. Like, yeah. That's literally it. So, yeah. And then might start a party bus business on the weekends. Oh, fuck. So
what would it be called?
I don't even know. I got like, now that's another name I got to come up with.
Fuck, I'm sorry. I don't mean to put more on your plate.
No, this is good. It's important because, like, it's got to be good. Oh, no, I'm brainstorming party bus ideas now. Well, it's mostly my wife's idea.
Okay.
Her and her friends want it to happen, but I think I'd be pretty patient driving around drunk people. Like, I think I can deal with that.
Yeah. There's one, I don't know if it's a corporation or like franchise out, but I've seen the meat wagon party bus a lot. In like New Orleans and stuff. So
nice.
Which that's a fun name. So I, you know, God knows what's going on in there in the meat wagon.
I think you need a name like that if you want to get some weirdos on there, and those are the kind of people who want a party bus anyway. So makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. All right, Nick, we'll stay on for a minute.
Sure.
But yeah, you had options, but you decided to talk to me. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you. Thank you.
I appreciate you.